Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
You start hour two with our customary Tuesday conversation about who belongs on the misery index. RJ's in place of Sean. So RJ, if you want to mention the team that I have not mentioned, whose fan base or just the program itself is pretty miserable after this weekend, you're more than welcome to add a team to the list. But number one remains the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah.
Dabo was in tears, it looked like, on the sideline after that game. Look, he did a lot of talking this week or last week about the program, him. You want to get rid of me? That's fine. I'll go coach someplace else. And then you get dominated by Syracuse at home. They're 1-3. Haven't been that ever, I think, in Dabo's tenure as a full-time head coach there. He was an interim at one point. It's not a lot. The whole Kate Klubnik thing. I never understood it. I never understood how ESPN could rank him as the fourth best player in all of college football. And it's showing itself. Look, we talked about Clemson a lot on the show about why they are where they are. There's many factors. Dabo's stubbornness about how he builds a roster is certainly one of them. But it happens all the time to teams. To expect a program to be at the top of the heap, and even last year where they didn't have a great year, they came back because the ACC is so poor, that they won the league. So great. They celebrated, won the league, somewhat competitive against Texas in the playoff game in the first round and lost. But Dabo's been around since the late aughts, I think. I think he got that job. When did Dabo get that job? Because at some point there's the fall of the empire. This is not just a historical thing. It's just a football thing. He took over seven games into the 08 season. He was the full-time head coach in 09. Look around college football. Look at all, even the legends that you can think of as far as head coaches. How long is their legendary status, particularly in the modern era? Like, even Bobby Bowden has a lost decade on his resume. That's what the Florida State people call it, because they weren't ever going to get rid of him, but the team was not performing to the level that they had in the glory years. It happens everywhere. The message grows stale, and it might be best for Clemson and Dabo to say goodbye. Because at some point, unless you're as adaptive as Nick Saban, everyone goes through this. It happens. You just can't be good for as long as Clemson has been good. If you go back to like the DeAndre Hopkins years, and of course the Sammy Watkins years, let's even just go back to the first time Clemson won 10 games. They lost the Meineke Car Care Bowl the year before at 6-7. Dabo was in some trouble. He goes out and hires Chad Morris. Remember that name? Chad Morris was a great OC. Didn't fare too well as a head coach. And then he gets blown out by West Virginia in that Orange Bowl. He goes out and gets Brett Venables, and they really take off. That 10-4 year in the blowout in the Orange Bowl, then they win 11 games, 10. Of course, they start challenging Alabama for national titles. Up until 2023, from 2011 to 2022, Clemson never won less than 10 games. That many double-digit seasons in a row with two national titles thrown in and a couple national title losses, at least game losses thrown in as well. So they were either winning the national title or playing for it four times over that span. That's how good they were. At some point, you can't keep that up anymore. And now Clemson's in an era where that tiger paw on the helmet maybe means more to the recruits who want to play there than all the hard work it took to build up that tiger paw. Like, they are riding off the success. Not that the guys aren't good players. Not that they can't be good players at Clemson. But there comes a time where it ain't about the work anymore. It's about being a Clemson Tiger, not about what it took. You don't put in the work to be one. You're not Christian Wilkins. You're not, as I mentioned, Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins. You see the highlights. You see what those guys have been, but you probably don't understand what it took to make those guys who they were, and you can't deliver the same message over and over again, expect it to work. And Clemson's going through that. It happened. It happens everywhere. Texas went through it. Miami went through it. Florida State went through it. Name all the recent modern dynasties. It happens to them all, and Clemson's just going through it right now. And while they're not going to fire Dabo, they may have to at some point, or be stuck in a spot where they're always never living up to their potential because a coach can't adapt to modern times.
Don't want to be like Oklahoma State.
Well, they're certainly on the list too. Oklahoma State was pretty good, never to the level of Clemson, but for a time there under Mike Gundy,
right,
they were a program who were in the national title conversation. We go back to that midweek game against Iowa State that they lost when they were on the verge of possibly being the number two in the BCS. They lose that game to Iowa State. They've had good teams. Hell, they were, what, a couple years ago, they played Baylor in the Big 12 title game, and if they get in the end zone on fourth and goal, they are in the playoff. Right. Instead, they don't make it. So it hasn't been that long ago that they were a good program, but they have their own problem in Mike Gundy. That's why they're on the list. They lose to Tulsa, and you think, okay, a Big 12 school losing to a non-Power 4 school, it happens, so be it, but not losing to Tulsa. They haven't lost to Tulsa in Stillwater in 74 years. That's how long it's been. Like, they don't play every year. They used to play every year. I think it stopped in 97 where they play every year, where Tulsa and Oklahoma State would play every year. But they play consistently enough that it's still a relatively big deal, at least for Tulsa in their rivalry. Like, they played in 2019, 2020, 21, and then 24 and 25. And Tulsa hadn't beaten Oklahoma State since 1998. In Tulsa. They hadn't beaten them in Stillwater since 1951.
Insane.
That's where Oklahoma State is at. Like, there are some teams you cannot lose to and keep the fan base. Or not, so he loses. You can't lose to them and keep the fan base. You lose to Tulsa. I think if anyone was still on Mike Gundy's side, losing to them at home in the way you did, 19-12, everyone's got to be off of the Gundy train. And we've talked about this on this show. Sometimes when you know your coach is getting fired and you have a horrible year, you actually feel pretty good because you know the coach is gone. It might not be this week, but it feels inevitable. I put Oklahoma State on the list because while they've had to deduct pay from Gundy, I'm not sure when they fire him. And that's probably a reason why Oklahoma State fans would be a little upset. When are we going to get away from this guy? He may be at a point where he can write his own exit. I think Cowboy fans, the Oklahoma State variety, would like that exit to be written tomorrow.
Right. Now.
Yeah, now. Yeah, if they got the breaking news from the Tulsa world that Oklahoma State has fired Mike Gundy, I think a lot of Oklahoma State people would be happy. Now they're just stuck with not even mediocrity. They're just a bad football team. Look, the Oregon game showcase the difference between where they are and the top of the sport. Now you're losing to Tulsa at home. It's bad news in Stillwater. And the question is, can they get off of Gundy, or does he get the chance to leave when he wants? So they're on the list. Of course, Florida remains on the list because they still haven't fired Billy Napier. They drop a game at Miami in a game where their defense played their heart out for about 3.5 quarters, kept them in the game. But after one more offensive failure, it just broke the will of the defense. They gave up a couple of touchdowns late. DJ Lagway, I don't know what happened to him. He was supposed to be a guy that that was supposed to be one of the top quarterbacks in this season. He has not played that way. And hell, it's been that way for a lot of the younger quarterbacks who are supposed to take a step. Of course, the long-standing Arch Manning conversation will continue. He has not played up to what people thought he could be. And then Lenore Sellers as well. It's across the country. The younger quarterbacks have not played well. The older ones who are in the portal that you could pay to come to your school have played well. I don't know if Connor Wegman lives up to we paid him a lot to come play here. I'm sure he's got a nice NIL deal. But he has been pretty good for the Cougs and their undefeated start. Of course, Carson Beck at Miami. You've got others like Mendoza at Indiana as they blew out Illinois over the weekend. Here's the thing. Of course, we want Keyshawn to be different. But generally, paying the young recruit out of high school does not work out. Of course, you say, wait a minute, the portal quarterbacks are actually young players at some point. Yeah, but you let them develop someplace else, then you steal them. That's kind of how it's worked. Or they need a better situation. Either way, so far, the young dudes haven't been developing, which maybe just speaks to their coaching. But if you're trying to build your roster, pay and take the quarterback from another school who's already proven that he can play, because transfer quarterbacks across the country are having pretty good success this year. I'm trying to think of the best quarterback who hasn't transferred on a good team, like John Mateer, another one at Oklahoma. Julian Sain hasn't done much. He is the quarterback of the number one team in the country, but he transferred from Alabama before he had done anything, but he transferred from Alabama. You look across the top 10, who are all the born and bred or at least developed quarterbacks who entered one school, stayed at the school, and are playing great? It's not a thing in college football anymore at this point, although we thought we were going to have it. It has just not played out that way. Because if you look at the top 10, Dante Moore is a transfer. Yeah. He started at UCLA. I guess you give it to Gunnar Stockton and Nussmeier. Those are the two. Nuss hasn't been great this year. Right. Stockton made some big throws against Tennessee. But right now, it's a transfer's world when it comes to good quarterback play for some of the contenders. You can throw Drew Aller as a guy who enrolled at Penn State and has stayed there. But if you know this show doesn't have a lot of belief in Drew Aller.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Exactly. He is barely all right. And we'll see. As they get their first test, they finally play someone. Penn State, Oregon, they play on Saturday. It'll be it is the biggest game of the weekend and a weekend full of big games. And number four on the list, got to throw Nebraska on there. Nebraska continues what has been the Nebraska way, losing close games. Michigan was, I would say, much better than Nebraska. Nebraska had a couple big plays, including the Hail Mary. Michigan was going to go up by seven, was going to go in the half by seven. They hit the Hail Mary, which tied the game and certainly made it a ball game. But I never was really fearful of Michigan losing that game. They're up by 10. Nebraska scores a late touchdown. Michigan, I believe, recovers the onside kick to close it out. So Nebraska, I put them on the list because this has been the story of Nebraska really since Scott Frost took over. They don't beat ranked teams, and they lose close games. They have 28 straight losses against ranked teams, the program. Matt Rhule himself at Nebraska and Baylor and other places, 18 straight losses against ranked opponents for Matt Rhule. So they found the right coach for them. He loses games against ranked opponents. The program itself loses ranked games against close opponents. And Matt Rhule, for all the discussions about the year three bump and his teams take a big step, he's 2-23 all time against ranked opponents. Now, some of that was at Temple when they were bad, and of course, building up Baylor. So a lot of it, he was going to be outmatched. But there aren't a lot of times where his teams have shown up and been a team who could beat a ranked team. He hasn't proven that to be the case. He's eaten on a lot of the worst teams in this conference, and finding a way to get those wins and hell, Nebraska will take them. But that was an opportunity against a Michigan team who isn't what Michigan has been, not last year but the previous years when they were national title contender. They got a young quarterback themselves, and Nebraska had their opportunity, but they're not right on the lines yet. Like Michigan, there's been some attrition on the O-line and D-line for them, particularly their D-line. They lost two first-rounders on their D-line last year. Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham are both the NFL. So they're not at Michigan's best on the D-line, but they still dominate Nebraska. When they needed a pass rush, Nebraska could not protect Dylan Raiola. So while Matt Rhule is trying to get them right, he's got to find some dudes on the front, on the line of scrimmage on both sides if he wants Nebraska to be where he thinks they can be. I kind of have my doubts about Nebraska. I think they're one of those schools from days gone by that they can't recruit at the level they used to, and they don't run a system that can make up for it. Like, Dana Holgorsen's there. As far as college football is concerned, it's pretty much a traditional college football offense. Like, we know Nebraska in the 90s, they ran the option out of the I formation. When you are a team that probably is going to recruit at a level that's at a disadvantage, you need something different. And college football's kind of tapped all the different offenses. I'm not sure what offense would surprise anyone anymore that could gain you an advantage that Nebraska needs to play at the level that the Ohio States and Penn States and Michigan of the world, and now throw Oregon in their conference, because they're never going to recruit at their level unless there's some NIL dude in their back pocket that they can lean on. He can just start spending, or she can start spending the cash that it's going to take. Like, that's what Texas Tech is doing. They bought their defensive line. And this is not me saying it in a negative way, but Texas Tech, while they have Morton and they have a nice backup who may have to play more with Morton getting hurt against Utah, they went out and spent. They've got a new benefactor who's willing to spend money, and they built up their offensive line and defensive line to a point where they can go into Utah and win a game and now be a real contender for the Big 12 title this year. They got an older team. This is a year they need to do it. I'm not sure Nebraska has that dude in their back pocket. Until that happens, they're going to be a team where we have the conversations with before the year about, hey, Nebraska's, you know, they're an older team. They've built to a point where we think they can surprise. But when they start playing the best teams in their conference and around the country, I think you're going to see a clear difference. And that kind of showed itself in my eyes on Saturday. So Nebraska, because you thought you had your shot, but it didn't work out. And then, of course, we kind of outlined why the other three teams made the list. AJ, you think of any team this week who is miserable? I mean, I could have thrown SMU on there.
Yeah, that's true.
They still can't cover, was it McAllister? He ate them up all game for TCU, but I was trying to think if there's anyone else.
Yeah, the most obvious three was Clemson, Oklahoma State, and Florida, honestly.
Yeah. I threw Nebraska on there because right. That's more about me not believing in Rhule and making fun of Lance.
You mean Timu and Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I didn't even want to do that with Raiola, but it's so weird. But he, yes, it's very weird. I don't know. He's got football people in his life. He's got people who have played at the highest level. No one got to him and go, hey, man, what are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you doing? At some point, some uncle,
and
one of his uncles was a legend at Nebraska, someone should have said, hey, even if it's just a regular old uncle who didn't do anything,
right?
Hey, this is not what we do. Man. Like, I don't have that in my background where I wanted to imitate someone so clearly that it became weird. But someone in your family goes, what are we doing here? Let's sit down and have a conversation about what the hell this is. I get it. You like Patrick Mahomes. He's a great player.
Right.
But this is too far. No one's done it.
Yeah. It's generational glaze.
It's not generational. He's not that much younger than you.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't.
Exactly.
And, well, to be fair, no one else would.
Right.
There's no one across college football doing that. Some guys wear the same number as a player because that's their favorite player. No one is getting the haircut. No one is doing the flexing, no one is doing the running out of the tunnel stuff. That
even the stuff he wears, like off the field, like the glasses and all that.
Yeah, look, fits. Mahomes is now he's an Adidas guy, so there's and he's been at the games. But even come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? I do believe it's the most interesting part of him. Like as a football player, he's just blah. He's whatever. He's okay.
Right.
So if you want to do that, because you may know that the hype ain't living up to, or you ain't living up to the hype, all right, do the Patrick Mahomes thing. I mean, other than that, why would we be paying attention to a, let's just say, above average quarterback? So, hey, if it turns into some brand deals, do you. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll get into the Monday night game last night because the Ravens are 1-2. And it's a 1-2 that has kind of come about because of a tough schedule. But it's still the Ravens thing where they have not been able to correct this problem, and we'll talk about it when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. They got no problems, and you won't have any problems if you head on out there. Just go to Pasadena. They're off of Bellway 8 and 225 and find the car that you're going to love. They do a great job putting people in the right vehicles, and they give you an idea of what type of vehicle you may want because of their website. Go to monumentchevrolet.com and check out all the offers. They have that 2.9% APR for 17 months on their Silverado 1500, and they got great deals on EV vehicles as well. But remember, it's truck month, so that deal on that Silverado 1500 is only for September. You got a couple more days, about a week. So if you're looking for a great truck, take advantage of what they're offering during truck month. And of course, if you're looking for an EV vehicle, they have a potential $7,500 federal EV tax credit that you can take a look at and see if you qualify for. They have those great EV Blazers that are available. Check out what EV Blazer you want at Monument Chevrolet, and then pick up the car that you want in person. And that in-person thing's a big deal because the people there are going to treat you right. They're friendly. They're not pushy. They make sure you get into the right car for you, and they don't pressure you on it. They understand. You're just looking for a car, and you probably have an idea of what you want, and they'll just make sure they get you in that car. So MonumentChevrolet.com is a website. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So our intern got a call about who are the teams who scored less than 40 points in their first 3 weeks and who wound up in the top five. As I said when I made the comment, I'm not that type of nerd. So I have typed those parameters into AI Overview to see who the teams are. Now, the Texans were one of those teams in 2023. They scored 9, 20, and 6, 35 points in their first three games. The Jets are among those teams that led to drafting Zach Wilson. The Dolphins in 19 were one of those teams that led to drafting Tua. Now, the Texans didn't obviously draft top five because they went on to have a good season in 2023. The Texans in 2022 scored 40 points and then went on to draft C.J. Stroud. So it wasn't less than 40, but it was at 40. It's not great that the Texans, three out of four seasons, are on this list. I'll say that. With C.J., without C.J., in the last four seasons, they have been on the score 40 points or less side of the equation. Not great. Some other teams on here. I mentioned that team that wound up taking Zach Wilson. And the team that Arizona team who wound up taking Kyler. They scored 26 points through their first three games. That was the Josh Rosen era Cardinals for that one season he was there. And that led to them getting Kyler Murray. So you're not in great company, as you can tell. I did not know the Texans were on the list three times. Inept they've been offensively. Two seasons with C.J. Stroud, they couldn't get over 40 in their first 3 weeks. I don't think they'll be drafting top five, but that's only because of what I thought of them preseason. I mean, how they're playing. Okay, I'll say this. Also because of their defense. I think their defense is good enough that if they get it somewhat together, they can avoid the disaster of picking in the top five. But at some point, if you're out of the playoff picture, picking in the top five ain't so bad. I don't know how far they will fall. Like, if you look at it, we've kind of run it down. They got Tennessee who stinks, but so do they. But they are a different level of stink. They're like, how do I put this? They're like garbage day stink, the Texans right now. There's a story that John did in News of the Weird where this guy had, like, poop spray. That's what the Titans are. They smell like poop. There are differences in the level of smell. That's what the Texans don't smell great, but they ain't Titans level bad. But they do have the Ravens coming up, so They could very well be 1-4. And then at that point, if the Colts still haven't lost, now the Colts have to go play the Rams this week. So you would think that's a loss, but you never know. So if the Colts are 3-4 games up on the Texans after 5 weeks, maybe we have different conversations going forward. It would be way earlier in the season than we could have ever thought. But if we're talking draft stuff, by the time week 6 rolls around, we're talking about guys. We'll actually probably start talking about guys who will be around for that draft. Not D'Amico. I think he's safe. But if they are in a spot where we got to start draft talk before November, we're going to be having conversations about who should be around, who shouldn't be, to be making those picks, if you get what I mean. So for that caller, if AI overview can be believed, there's some of the teams. And you're Houston Texans, if you are a Texan fan. We're on that list, or have been on that list, 3 out of the last 4 seasons. Terrible. All right, a couple other things before we wrap it up. We got Astros tonight. That noise means I don't know what the hell is going to happen. It's the A's. The A's stink at home. You would think they'd get back on track, but the Astros have been so unpredictable. And you can't go into games feeling great unless Hunter Brown's on the mound. But you also have the offensive side of the equation where they're almost completely healthy. Perez is hampered. Of course, Yordan's not available. But the offense can disappear. They did not lead against the Mariners. Not once in that series were they ahead. A couple games. Well, actually only one game they fought back. They were within 2 runs with 2 men on in the 9th, I think in the Saturday game. But other than that, non-competitive baseball, that has to change tonight. And I believe it starts with Javier on the mound. And what are we going to get out of Christian Javier tonight? Can we get 5? Can we get 4 with 2 earned, with 2 given up and keep yourself in the ball game? Hopefully the bats are alive today. I don't know how you can say you know anything about what this Astros team will do day from day. So we'll just sit and watch. We'll sit back and hope for the best. And hopefully the losing streak doesn't stretch to 4. As far as the Mariners are concerned, if you're still harboring hopes of winning the division, they have the Colorado Rockies in town. So clear disadvantage for the Astros. The Rockies are pitching someone named McCade Brown. You know what McCade Brown has done over the course of his season this year? He's got an ERA over 9, a whip over 2. He's 0-4. Rockies really rolling out their best. So if you had hopes of a potential collapse from the Mariners, now Bryce Miller hasn't been great this year, but he's been better than McCade Brown. McCade Brown is so anonymous, so if you go to ESPN and look up the matchup, he doesn't have a photo. I don't know how many times you see that, but McCade Brown has pitched. At least he's a pitcher of record 4 times, and they don't have a photo of him. That's how bad he's been, or also how anonymous he's been. So that's where we are as we hope for some luck in the Pacific Northwest. But take care of your own business, because while the division race seems over because of what happened over the weekend, you're still in the wild card chase. So it's Javier versus Jeffrey Springs. Jeffrey Springs he's okay. He's 10-11, ERA just over 4, whip 1.22. So the whip's not bad, but ERA 4.17. So let's see the bats tonight. It's the strongest part of your team tonight. Can you scratch 5 across and win a game in Sacramento? It's a place where the bats can come alive, and you just got to hope they show up. So we'll talk Astros tomorrow. Texans have the off day. No practice today. At least no. I mean, I'm sure they'll be in the building, but no one will be available. D'Amico won't be speaking today, so it'll be a Texans free day. Hopefully, newsless as far as injuries are concerned, because getting hit with that Fred VanVleet thing on what amounts to a day off for the Rockets, as they keep having those for the next week, was a little tough. So let's avoid that as far as the Texans are concerned, and let's come back tomorrow, potentially with an Astros win. Maybe AJ's here tomorrow. We're not sure. We'll see. Thank you, AJ, for helping out.
Be here Thursday and Friday.
Well, that is guaranteed. We'll see if your week gets a We'll see if it's a four-day week with me. We'll see. All right. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
And a new father. Found that out. Stephon Diggs. We're done for the day. Rich Eisen's up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.